This is Business Rockstars. I'm Brittany Lehman, and my guest today is Andrew Bilinski, CEO of Lensible. Andrew, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So for those who are not familiar with Lensible, can you kind of give me the quick elevator pitch and tell me about your entrepreneurial journey?
Absolutely. So Lensible is an online prescription lens service. We make prescription lenses for any frames that you send in, new or old, regardless of brand, shape, size. We do it, you know, without you having to go to a doctor's office or an optical retail store for about 70% cheaper than you're used to. My entrepreneurial journey started a long time ago. I've been in different variety of startups for the past, you know, decade or so, e-commerce, mobile advertising. But about 6.5 years ago, I started an online eyewear brand where we were designing and manufacturing our own frames and then selling them direct to consumer with prescription lenses for, you know, for an affordable price. And kind of throughout that business, you know, just saw some opportunities to focus a little bit more on the prescription lenses themselves and a number of very kind of significant pain points that we saw in that market, kind of learned an expertise around the product and kind of out of that conceptualized Lensible and launched the beginning of 2017. So just about 2 years old now.
That's so exciting. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And what was the first step you took when you really realized that you want to hit the ground running and launch Lensible?
Yeah, it was, you know, an idea that we conceptualized over probably about a 12-month period. And, you know, it was easy to kind of build a very generic or version of a site and kind of get something up there. But, you know, the first step was really kind of once we had that website ready to go, was starting to tell people about it and market it, which unfortunately comes with, you know, a heavy cost in most cases. And so simultaneously to launching the business, we started to go out and look for funding to kind of support that marketing. And it was not easy, but was something that we were able to do kind of early on. And that was probably the first step to really getting the business really launched.
And you just raised $3 million by Rogue Ventures, correct?
That's correct.
Tell me about that experience.
Yeah, that's a... It's definitely a daunting one. Raising capital is never fun, although it is the glamorous story that everybody
right.
hears. But, you know, it was about a 6-month process for us from kind of when we started to look for capital until we found the partner that we really wanted to work with. You know, lots of meetings, lots of presentations. But, you know, we found somebody that really believed in what we were doing and kind of excited about the growth of the business and the prospects in the future. Rogue specifically had a previous investment in another vision care business that had a nice acquisition. So for us, it was a really kind of strategic investor that we were able to find. And it's been amazing working with them for the past few months.
That's great. That's so exciting. Do you have any tips for entrepreneurs who are looking to do a round of fundraising?
Yeah. You know, stay the course. Don't take no for an answer. You know, this is a lot of money at stake. And as great as you think your business is, and even if it is, right, it has to be right for the investor and for their investment criteria and industry and all that. And so you're going to go through a lot of no's, even if they really like your business. You'll think that you're much closer to completing the funding than you may be. And you really just have to stay the course and balance that with continuing to build your business and manage a cash position that in most cases when you're raising money is kind of not so advantageous for you. So just, you know, you got to believe in what you're doing, you know, be as proactive as possible and make sure that no's don't deter you and you continue, you know, just trucking forward.
Yeah. What do you think the biggest challenges that you've had to face while starting Lensible?
Yeah, I think partially it is, you know, the kind of chicken and the egg, right? You need money to build and grow a business, but to actually get money, you need to show that you've grown a business. So I would say, you know, that is definitely one aspect of it, but really, you know, as an entrepreneur, an early stage entrepreneur, you don't have lots of support and resources. And, you know, being able to balance your life with, you know, building a business that really requires 24 hours a day of your time really is what I've found to be the biggest challenge, but also, you know, an exciting hurdle to overcome. And so, you know, you live and breathe what you do, but as long as you enjoy it, you know, you usually can get through it.
Absolutely. And tell me, what can someone expect when they go on to Lensible? Kind of walk me through.
Absolutely. So Lensible offers really every type of prescription lens you can imagine, every type of lens you can imagine, should I say, because we do non-prescription as well. But you're going to come to a site, you're going to answer about a half a dozen questions, the type of prescription, the type of lens that you want. We offer tinted lenses, blue light blocking lenses, transitions, you name it. Mm-hmm. You'll submit your prescription, so upload a picture of it. That you've gotten from the doctor. And once you check out, we send you a box. Mm-hmm. It's got some security features, a prepaid shipping label, Just put your frame in the box, comes directly into our lab. And then the process is the same as it traditionally has been. We trace the frame, we cut brand new lenses based on your prescription, install them, and send them right back to you.
And was it kind of scary, I guess, disrupting the eyewear business? Because it's such a traditional, hasn't really been disrupted industry.
It sure was, yeah. You know, this is an industry, and specifically in prescription, it's something that you've done in person with a doctor forever. You know, the education aspect of just trying to explain what all these different lenses mean was really the number one hurdle that we had to get through, because as a consumer or a patient in the past, you kind of, you know that you're paying a lot of money, but your doctor just tells you what to get and, you know, it's kind of that simple.
Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, so taking something traditionally that is so specific and unique to you and bringing it online with a little bit less hand-holding and less kind of in-person is challenging. And it's been, you know, a challenge that we've had to overcome. But fortunately, I think at this point we've, you know, kind of solidified ourselves as, you know, a kind of comfortable and premium option for this that is, you know, is able to support our customers even though we are not actually seeing them in person.
Right. And if you could give three tips or piece of advice to entrepreneurs who are looking to start their own business,
sure.
What would those tips be?
Yeah, you know, I would say the first, as an entrepreneur, and I mentioned before, you live and breathe your business. So you really have to find something that you're absolutely passionate about. And whether that is the product you're selling, the service you're offering, or really just starting a business in general, I would say that is the absolute number one, because this is not a 9-to-5 job.
Right.
and when you go home, it doesn't just turn off. So so that is definitely definitely one. I would say, you know, you really have to hire a great team around you. You know, that for us, we were a very small team early on and you'd wear a lot of hats, but eventually you can only get so good at so many things. And so you need to make sure the people that you bring on, you know, believe in your vision, are easy to deal with. And, you know, I would say that an A team with a B product usually wins out, is I think the saying. So, you know, that's extremely important. And then, you know, really kind of going back to the fundraising example I used before, you know, you just really can't take no for an answer. Mm-hmm. If you believe in what you're doing, then you have to stay the course. You have to keep trucking. And you're going to hear no's from a lot of people, from customers, from potential investors. And you really need to just keep going. And eventually, you know, if what you've got is good and you really believe in it and work hard, you know, it should pan out for you.
Those are great tips. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is Business Rockstars. This is my wonderful guest, Andrew Belinsky, CEO of Lensable.
One step away from homelessness being that paycheck. I was just one paycheck away. So when I got there on Friday, no paycheck. There was probably another 14 people standing outside the front door who had the same conversation I had with my boss. He had skipped town, gone, and I called my landlord and said, I can't pay rent. This is what happened. He said, I already gave you 30 days. I can't give you another. And that was literally, you know, day one of going into homelessness. I was in Las Vegas. I was on the streets. I didn't have a couch to sleep on or friends. I had a couch at the time. I didn't have a car. My car got repoed, so I couldn't sleep in my car. I literally slept in abandoned buildings and basically ate wherever I could find food, which included, you know, dumpsters and garbage cans. My mom was like my ace in the hole. Yeah, I expected her to say what like most moms would say, which was, you know, don't worry about it. We'll buy you a plane ticket back to Jersey. You can sleep in your old bedroom. I'll make you a cup of soup, whatever, right? And she didn't say those things. Instead, she said, why don't you just go find a shelter? And very next call was to Eric, which was my last boss, my boss from years prior to. And he essentially said, I have this office space, and this office space is very tiny. I was thinking about starting a new business, but I'm not doing it now. The best thing about this office space, because it was so tiny, was that all the utilities were included. So I had electricity, but what was really cool is I had this really, really old desktop computer on a table that's like six foot table that had internet access because utilities were included. So I took this opportunity to spend 24 hours a day online, creating a resume, submitting it to a job application, being on Craigslist all day long, being on Monster all day long. And there was a lot of rejection, a ton of rejection. And it was all based on surface level. It was based on how I looked. When I'd walk in and people saw me, obviously I looked homeless. When I walked into the lobby, they'd come running out from behind the receptionist desk and go, hey, you can't come in here. And I'd be like, but I'm here for the job. Sure you are, you can't come in here. I forgave her for everything, basically. And what I look back on it now, just knowing that she had to do exactly what she had to do for me at that time. And today what I do is I extend that opportunity to others who are in the exact same position that I was 3 years ago.
When's the last time you checked your credit score? Those three-digit scores can have a huge impact on your financial life. Credit Karma can help you with free scores, free reports, and free monitoring. Credit Karma also gives you the tips, tools, and advice you need to understand your credit and how to improve it. You can even spot potential errors on your credit report. That can mean better interest rates on loans and credit cards, which can save you thousands of dollars in the long run. Signing up is completely free. No credit card needed. Visit creditkarma.com or download the Credit Karma app now.
President Trump's new tax law cut your taxes by $5 trillion. Now you can reduce your taxes to zero. The best-selling guide, The Trump Tax Cut by Eva Rosenberg, shows you how, with tax deductions, loopholes, and money-saving secrets. One loophole gives a 20% cut in your tax rate. Newsmax says get The Trump Tax Cut. In bookstores or see the free offer and save almost $25. Go online now to TrumpTaxCut.com. That's TrumpTaxCut.com or call 800-NEWSMAX.
Freedom doesn't start.
This is Business Rockstars, and we are back with my wonderful guest, Andrew Belinsky, CEO of Lensible. Andrew, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So for those who are just tuning in, give me the quick elevator pitch on Lensible.
Yeah, so Lensible is an online prescription lens service. So we make prescription lenses for a frame that you have, regardless of brand, shape, size, for all online for about 70% less than traditional providers.
That's great. And we were talking before the break kind of how you're disrupting this age-old industry. Tell our audience a little bit about that.
Yeah, so, you know, traditionally, the eyewear industry has been dominated by a couple of very large players that own lots of different brands, from the manufacturing to the distribution. In the lens space, it's very similar. And traditionally, you've gotten prescription lenses from a doctor, from somebody in person. And so this is really the first time that we've kind of, you know, anyone has decoupled that product, you know, the lens from the frame and started to sell it online. Mm-hmm. And so definitely a large kind of education hurdle for us to get people comfortable with that. You normally trust your doctor, and you know, we are offering an alternative solution. Mm-hmm. But we've, you know, done a good job so far of really kind of establishing that trust and getting people to opt for this new way.
Was it hard to get like your first couple customers, or was it kind of easy?
Yeah, no, it was pretty tough. Yeah. I mean, the first few I think were my parents.
Yeah.
So that was relatively simple.
Yeah.
But after that, yeah, you know, finding customers online in general is mm-hmm. difficult. We have a much more difficult, I think, time of acquiring customers than a product that might be a little bit more direct response.
Right.
We can find somebody that might love what we do, but they may have just got lenses, you know, within the last couple months, or their prescription isn't up. And so it's a very specific buyer that we're looking for. And, you know, we have to find them kind of when they have that strongest intent. So beyond that, they have to send their frame into us.
Right.
So there's just a few additional hurdles that are, you know, kind of we face. And getting those first few customers was difficult. But it also is, and traditionally has been, a really big pain point for people. Both the cost, the kind of inconvenience of having to go to the doctor, because it's your vision.
Yeah.
And so what worked out very well for us was when we serviced those first few customers well, they started telling their friends.
Right. All about word of mouth.
Exactly. And so our business is a very kind of referral-based and word-of-mouth business, and we've had a lot of success with that.
That's great.
Yeah.
And your team has expanded since you first started, obviously, which is great.
Yep.
What's the biggest hurdle or challenge around being your own boss and managing other people?
Yeah, I think really it's that you never, you know, when you're not your own boss at the beginning, you're working for other people, you are not taught how to be a boss.
Right.
And so for me, I've started businesses in the past, but really this was the first business that, you know, I kind of ran this way and really had employees and, you know, had to establish a work culture. And so I think it's just kind of, you know, putting yourself in that position and understanding that not everybody necessarily does things the way that you do, that you do have to offload work to other people and delegate without kind of being bossy,
right.
And make sure that you are creating a culture and a vision that everybody can buy into, which is not easy to do because you have different personalities and people that work, you know, in different ways.
Right.
What works for me doesn't necessarily work for everybody else. So I think it's just kind of, you know, getting to know people, integrating them really, you know, well into the company culture and kind of letting them, you know, define their role to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had, you know, we have an amazing team. We've had some great success recruiting people and getting people on board so far. And so we've been fortunate, but yeah, it's not easy.
That's great. What would you say your management style is like, and would you want to work for you?
I think so.
Yeah.
So my management style, you know, I've always been the kind of person, I think entrepreneurs are, you know, I like to wear many hats.
Yeah.
I like to do the finances. I like to do the customer service. I like to do the operations. And so I can't do all of those as the business scales. And that's not, you know, really where I can probably be most valuable.
Right. But
so it's, you know, I bring people on board that have that expertise. And I think, you know, kind of taking my hands off the reins a little bit and letting them kind of come in and do what they have experience doing and are good at without micromanaging is really important.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I try to create a fun culture. I definitely have things, you know, that there's the way that I like to do stuff, but that's not necessarily everybody's way. So it's kind of making sure that you just work with people and understand that. And oftentimes I've found that things I was doing were probably not the best way and I'm learning from some of my employees. And so, I think that we have a very, you know, good company culture. Everybody seems to be excited to come into work every day, and that's how I want to keep it.
That's great.
Yeah.
And you raised $3 million from Rogue Ventures. We talked briefly in the first segment about that, but kind of tell me the process and what was the most challenging part?
Yeah. So going out and raising capital is, again, it's exciting. It's, you know, the glamour story that you hear in the media afterwards, but the actual process of it is just not simple at all. And it is a bit daunting. You know, everything from creating the presentation that you're, you know, getting the relationships with investors, making sure that, you know, all the proper details are in there, and then continuing to try and grow your business as you're going out and having these meetings. Thing is, you never really know what a specific investor is looking for. You can look at their past portfolio and other investments, but really without kind of talking to them in person, you know, what's in your deck might not be exactly what they care about, and another investor may feel completely differently. And so it's just managing personalities and making sure you kind of stick to your story. Obviously, be realistic about your business, but, you know, you are selling an idea, you know, for the future, especially at this stage. And it takes time. You're going to hear no's. But, you know, you keep trucking, and eventually, hopefully something good happens. And for us, fortunately, it did.
Yeah. And if you could go back and give yourself one piece of advice before starting fundraising, what would you tell yourself?
Yeah, I think being more singularly focused. Again, as an entrepreneur, your head is always thinking about a million different ideas. And, you know, early on, kind of when we were thinking about this business, I was thinking about five other ideas as well.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the only way, at least in my experience, to really build and grow a business is to just focus 100% of your time and effort on that. And I think that the same holds true for just things within, you know, within the organization. Bring on support of people that can do things better than you can. And because when you're spreading yourself thin over, you know, every different aspect of the business, it just gets in the way of itself. And it's hard to be really, really good at all of those. And so I would say, looking back, that probably, you know, that, and make sure you bring on the right people. And they always say hire and fire fast.
Yeah.
Because at the early stages, you can kind of get locked into something that, you know, might just not be the best for the long term of the business. And so looking back, I would say I know some things I would do better next time.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've gotten to a pretty good place so far.
And where can people learn more about you and about Lensable?
Absolutely. So www.lensable.com. No E on the end of Lensable, although that will still take you to our site.
Nice.
So all of our lenses, our story, really everything about the business can be found there. We are having a great sale right now. So
if you'd like
to come to the site now and are needed some lenses, now is a great time.
Okay. Well, Andrew, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
This is Business Rockstars. That was my wonderful guest, Andrew Belinsky, CEO of Lensible.
There's always something else to be done and more you'd like to achieve. So how do you keep your day running efficiently without being overrun? Here are a few easy steps to effectively run your day as an entrepreneur. I'm Alex Worley with a Business Rockstars Minute. Number one, calm the brain. Meditation or a mindfulness practice is an essential workout for the mind. It only takes 10 to 20 minutes in the morning to practice and can really help you manage your day and your life more effectively. Number two, stay organized. If you aren't an organized or punctual person, then get the help you need to become one. This can be with an organization app or by hiring someone part-time to assist you with the task, time, and calendar management. For the Business Rockstars podcast, go to play.it. I'm Alex Worley, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman, brought to you by Asus.
Going on a spring break vacation? If you're planning on sand, surf, and fun in the sun, don't chance it and take your smartphone into the water or to the beach. Instead, check out JVC's quad-proof Evrio cameras. So what is quad-proof exactly? We asked Francisco Lacey from JVC.
What we have with our consumer cameras that we've developed over the last few years is a quad-proof camera, which is very unique to the marketplace. It keeps the traditional form of a camcorder in your hand. The feel of it is much better, but the quad-proof nature of it makes it waterproof, dustproof, shockproof, and freeze-proof. The biggest one, which is heavy, it requires a float strap, but the rest of them are actually floatable. So you can jump into the swimming pool, jump into the ocean, waterproof up to 5 meters of depth,
which makes them perfect for taking in the water. More on JVC's HD Evrio cameras is at jvc.com.
That was your Tech It Out Minute, brought to you by Asus.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. And joining us right now is my dear friend, Sean Shuchuk. He's the founder of Results Press. Give us the elevator pitch.
Thank you for that, for asking the question, and thank you for having me here. First of all, I think it's important for people to understand that in business, there's always going to be a gap. They want instant results. So one of the things I always say in an elevator pitch, and I think this is great knowledge for those watching and listening today, is, and for us in Results Press, is how to monetize the knowledge you already have and build a $1 million business. Mm-hmm. And people always look at me crazy. And I say, you know, you actually can do this. And we're a publishing company, but we do things so dramatically differently. You actually can write a book at 10 hours and 10 chapters. People look at me crazy when I tell them that.
Well, one thing you were telling me was it's always better to have somebody else toot your horn for you than for you to do it yourself. So I'm going to toot your horn for you right now because people don't necessarily know who you are. And I want them to really understand the level of success you've achieved and why it's so important that they listen to you, because you can really provide them the recipe to achieve the results they want. Get them, as you just said, from where they are to where they want to be. You built a company to over $100 million a year.
I did.
What company was that? Tell us about that. And how did you do that, by the way? Because most people are struggling, as you just said, to get the $1 million business.
That's true.
But you did it at the nine-figure, $100 million level.
A lot of people call me crazy, Mark. And perhaps there's some truth to that. I was a young guy, and I made a decision many, many years prior to that that I would never be lacking. You know, I grew up in a home where, God bless my parents, they were definitely, scarcity mentality. Mm-hmm. And I vowed I would never be there. And I set out and I tried a couple things and I failed a couple times. And I went back to what I knew best, and that was working with people to help them grow their companies. And we built a consulting firm to somewhere around $133 million in about 7 years. Wow. Now, let me be clear. It took a lot of hard work, a lot of effort, and I didn't sleep much.
But I think a lot of people are willing to work hard and not sleep much, or at least they tell themselves that if they could achieve that level of success. So what was really the key, do you feel like, that got you there?
At the end of the day, you know what? I'm one of those guys. I'm a little bit stubborn, maybe a little bit hard-headed, and I'll do whatever it takes. And sometimes, you know, even when you're facing failure, it's about pushing through. You know, I always say the analogy is I will beat my head against a brick wall to get through. and I will say this, having worked in the space where I've helped a lot of people, most people, Mark, don't want to do what it takes, maybe aren't willing to do what it takes. I mean, there were times where I'd go to work at, you know, 8 or 9 in the morning, and I'd go home the following morning at 3 in the morning because you had to, you know, and we had a big team, but there are things that had to be done in a certain way. And so once you have a plan and you execute on the plan and you're willing to do what it takes, and sometimes there are moments where you don't relish what it is you're doing, you can do it. Anyone can really do it.
And it's something I noticed you said, and we both know that no matter how hard you're working, you don't get $133 million a year business by working hard by itself.
It's true.
You gotta work smart.
You do.
And so what do you feel like are some traits that people can start doing to work smarter? Because a lot of people these days have the excuse, I'm so busy, I'm already working so hard. And that is one of the limiting beliefs that they think, how could I ever go from 50 grand to a million, from a million to 10 million, or in your case, to 100 million? It's not by working hard. We all have the same 24 hours in a day.
Correct.
So it's working smart. What are some ways people can work smarter?
So first and foremost, understand something, you can't do it yourself. Mm-hmm. Get rid of, divest yourself of the entrepreneur syndrome. This idea that I have to hold it close and do everything myself or it's not done right is absolutely nonsense.
I struggle with that in my first year.
And you know, there are some days I still struggle with that. Yeah. Because I was born into that where, you know, the strong European background where you have to do it all yourself. Even if you don't know how to do it, you're going to do it yourself. Mm-hmm. So get help. Coach and mentor those people to a place where they're going to do it to a level where you can deliver a wow every time to those prospects and clients. Thirdly, you need to have a platform from which to launch, which is part of your brand, something that elevates you, distinguishes you, sets you apart from everyone else that's even close to the industry, profession, or vertical that you're in. And then the other side of the coin is you need to get that in front of people. So you need to expose yourself. So we talk about books. You need to have a book. You need to take the contents of the book and repurpose it. You need to get that out in front of people. You need to be doing things like we're doing right now.
Yeah. And something that I love about you, and I've noticed that in so many successful people who are not only successful, but people that are also coaches, consultants, authors, speakers, and provide content for a living, they themselves are coaches and consultants. But what makes them successful is you, like me, we hire other coaches and consultants to help us. Founder of Results Press, Sean Shuchuk, is joining us. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. Your company helps people, one of your companies, you have many, one of your companies, Results Press, helps people get their message and their story and their content out there so they can have a bigger impact, make more money, and ultimately have the financial freedom that they want.
Yes.
What are some practical steps that somebody can do today to make that happen if they're a beginner?
So there's a few things I think that are very important. One, you need to have a message. You need to make sure that message is something that engages your target audience. And I guess even before that, and maybe we should start here, is you have to know who your target audience is. Who are those people that you want to do business with? If they don't know about you, certainly they can't do business with you. So find out who they are.
Yeah.
Make sure that your message engages them. And this is really hurts people sometimes because their business is their baby. And when I tell people, you know, yeah, what you think isn't necessarily as relevant as what your prospects and clients think, I get this weird look from people like, what do you mean? What, you know, the color, it doesn't matter.
We've seen that. I don't want to change this, or I don't think that'll work well, or no, but this is, and it's like, but you're not making any money, so you might want to try this, at least test it small and see what happens.
27 years ago, my first coach, one of my first mentors was Bob Proctor, and of course, very well-known gentleman who has helped millions of people around the world, and he said something to me when he started working together. He said, Sean, don't argue with me. And this is tough for a guy.
That's
like
gonna
me.
Be tough.
It is. Because at the end of the day, you know, I thought I knew. And let's be very clear, I may have known a little bit, but you know, he'd been there before. And sometimes in business it's about asking questions. So get to know who your target is. Make sure your message engages with them and it's something they want, need, desire, and will pay for. And then the other side is get really clear in how you ask questions. Whether you're marketing through some online source, whether you're face-to-face, whatever that medium is, you need to be able to ask the right questions. The quality of the questions you ask determines the answers. Those answers determine the results you get.
So for the person who says, I love this stuff, Sean sounds like not only a successful guy, a smart guy, but a guy who can really make a difference in other people's lives, maybe even my own. I'm kind of interested in this stuff. I've thought about getting my personal brand out there, becoming somebody who's an authority on a specific topic.
Right.
But I just don't know either A, when the right time is to start, or B, is this really where I should be investing my time, energy, and money to get started? What do you say to somebody like that?
Well, I say this. If you look at any truly successful person out there today, they're doing exactly what we're talking about here. Right? They're getting their message out. They've created a brand and they've created a platform from which to launch. So I want you to think about something. How many people do you think have business cards out there today? Pretty much everybody?
Anyone who gets in business, that's right. Like 101.
What do you think happens to most of them? They go to some kind of a networking event and they put it in their pocket.
People spray and pray.
Exactly. I always call it business card confetti. You know, this doesn't work when you go somewhere.
And then it goes in the trash can or nobody
precisely.
Calls.
It goes to dry cleaners. It goes in someone's purse. It gets tossed out. Think about this. What if you handed someone a book? And I know what people are saying right now. They're thinking, Sean, I'm not a writer.
Yeah.
I don't know how to write. I don't even know where I'd start.
I said the same exact thing when I wrote my book.
That's okay.
Like, I'm not a writer. How could, like, it was like this conversation. I was like, but I'm not somebody that people would want to listen to or pay for advice or have a show or anything. I'm not going to write a book. I'm not a writer. I'm not an author. Yeah. And it's like, you just have to get started. And if you really want to be a thought leader, if you want to really want to be somebody who makes an impact and has influence in the world, you got to try building your personal brand. And it's scary because nobody comes out of the womb like, I'm ready to write a book. I'm ready to get on stage and be on camera and share my message because people don't even know where to get started.
No, and you know what you need? You need a partner. Someone to walk hand in hand and side by side with. Someone who's been there. Someone who can show you how to do it. Not just to help you write it. And let's be clear, you don't have to sit in front of the keyboard. There are a ton of ways you can do this where you don't have to do this. And you can get the message out. I want you to think about something. If you're talking to clients and you told your client, hey, listen, I've got a meeting right after this in half an hour with my publisher. What do you think that does for your credibility?
Makes the person think you must be successful, you must be an expert.
Exactly. Yeah. So you need the right partner, and that's what we do. We partner with entrepreneurs. The industry, the business, the profession you're in is not relevant. What's important is your desire to do this and get to a place where you do elevate your business and your brand to a place where now you're attracting business. Remember, the old model of pursuit is dead. You need to attract you. This is the key because this book is always working.
And that's what I love right there is that you have to just take the action and know that it's not going to maybe happen overnight or in a few months. You just got to keep working towards. But if you're committed to the vision of who you can be, you'll commit to that for 3 years, 5 years, and 10 years. Last question as we wrap up. What do you feel like are some of the key traits that make a successful entrepreneur?
As somebody who's willing to do whatever it takes, and most people aren't. You know, I was asked a question one time. I was asking, a gentleman wanted to work with me. He said, Sean, what do I have to do? I said, you have to be willing to do whatever it takes, providing it's legal and ethical. Mm-hmm. You need to go out there and you need to find out what it is that has to happen. You need to engage with a coach. You need to know the direction you're taking. You need to know who your target is. And you need to have a plan. Most people don't. Never mind executing on it.
So somebody says, I love this guy, Sean Shuchuk. I want to get more information about him. Where can they get that?
Well, I think it's really important. If you want to understand the branding and how to write a book, go to publishyourwaytoprofitslive.com, publishyourwaytoprofitslive.com, and stick your information there because we're going to do a free event where we share all of these tools with you on how you can get your own book, build your own brand, build your own platform, and actually be able to elevate yourself, credibility, and celebrity.
I love that. Sean, pleasure having you on the show, brother.
Thank you so much,
Thanks
Mark.
Thanks for coming on. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. Connecting a community of entrepreneurs is what we do. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Anybody in the world right now, this is the best time in the world to live when it comes to being creative, when it comes to being an entrepreneur. If you look at this age, we talk about the industrial age, you talk about all of the ages that we studied in our school books. This age, man, you can grab right out of the air and make things happen. If you look what's going on now with entrepreneurs now, I don't think there's ever been a time to see people grabbing their businesses and being successful in this time. They'll talk about this time for a long time.
The journey was leaving the music business in 2010, being a full-time dad, making sure that the foundation was okay. And I saw the transition from the music industry where you couldn't sell albums anymore. Mm-hmm. So when you couldn't sell albums anymore, for guys like me, it became not so beneficial.
What I say, great people can be great in any circumstance. So it's a natural process for him to see that working, him to do this. And there is no change other than we've grown up.
Yeah.
We understand that he understands the process now of how to build something.
My biggest strength is I am a listener. Mm-hmm. I am an advocate of research and information. My biggest weakness, I think, is I'm not stern enough.
My biggest strength is to recognize my weaknesses.
Whoa, that's powerful.
And I didn't get to that until my best friend from high school. He said, the minute we can uncomfortably look at ourselves and see the blemishes and realize what it is and then be able to vocalize, to be able to say, okay, I'm not good at that.
Well, me, I'm a positive guy, man. I mean, 99% of the time, I'm happy. Yeah. You know, I'm an optimist. So, yeah. You know, I don't really look for bad news. I look for solutions to situations, so I don't really look at it as bad news.
When's the last time you checked your credit score? Those three-digit scores can have a huge impact on your financial life. Credit Karma can help you with free scores, free reports, and free monitoring. Credit Karma also gives you the tips, tools, and advice you need to understand your credit and how to improve it. You can even spot potential errors on your credit report. That can mean better interest rates on loans and credit cards, which can save you thousands of dollars in the long run. Signing up is completely free, no credit card needed. Visit creditkarma.com or download the Credit Karma app now.
President Trump's new tax law cut your taxes by $5 trillion. Now you can reduce your taxes to zero. The best-selling guide, The Trump Tax Cut by Eva Rosenberg, shows you how, with tax deductions, loopholes, and money-saving secrets. One loophole gives a 20% cut in your tax rate. Newsmax says get The Trump Tax Cut in bookstores or see the free offer and save almost $25. Go online now to TrumpTaxCut.com. That's TrumpTaxCut.com or call 800-NEWSMAX.
This is Morgan Freeman, executive producer of the documentary film The C Word. And I'm here to tell you that defeating cancer takes breakthroughs. A breakthrough is the start of something extraordinary. To be breakthrough is to be brave. Many small breakthroughs can lead inevitably to a big breakthrough. The kinds of breakthroughs that advance the fight against cancer. The ones that save lives by the millions. You are the breakthrough. You, the patients taking part in clinical trials. You, the scientists doing next-level research to beat cancer. You, the doctors and nurses who tirelessly care for everyone along the way. Let's be the breakthrough.
To learn about screenings and clinical trials that may be right for you, go to standuptocancer.org/breakthrough. Stand Up to Cancer is a program of the Entertainment Industry Foundation. Please talk to your healthcare provider about appropriate screenings and clinical trials that may be right for you.
This is Business Rockstar.
Hi, I'm Mark Lack. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars, and this is our CEO Roundtable segment. And joining me is two CEO Rockstars. Who are you and what do you do?
Hi, I'm Brian Liu. I'm chairman and co-founder of LegalZoom.com, the leading online legal help resource on the internet.
I think we all know what LegalZoom is.
And I'm Scott Richards. I'm the CEO and founder of a company called Reconnect Research. And we connect people that are already on the phone to research surveys. We give them rewards if you'll answer a survey versus getting doo-doo-doo, the number is no longer working. It's, would you answer a survey?
I love that. You guys both have awesome businesses. I love to start the CEO roundtable off with talking about something that everybody can relate to, and that's failures and mistakes. I think as CEOs, people think maybe, oh, it must be so cool and glamorous and you must be so successful. And some of those things may be true, but again, people don't really relate to successes and achievements. The one thing we can all relate to is failures and mistakes. So I'll get started and then I'll pass it off to Brian over here. And I have a big spectacular list that I could share with you guys. But the one that I'll pick for now is hiring people too quick. When I started my business, I thought that, you know, even though I was the first person to start my business, to call myself CEO is not cool unless I have employees. And so I started hiring people on too quick to grow the company for the wrong reasons. And when you're starting off a business, at least for my sake, I was bootstrapped. And so to be frivolously investing money and people that maybe we didn't need full time, we just needed part time, was a big mistake. And although I can't look back and change anything, I can only use it as a learning tool for people tuning in with us now so they can learn from my mistakes. That was mine. And I've got a bunch more I could share, but hiring people too quick because I thought, I guess I could just say hiring people too quick for the wrong reasons to sum it up. What about you, Brian?
Yeah. You know, when we started out, we were just online and we had this great opportunity, we thought, to go into packaged software. And so we spent like months developing this actual packaged software product because, you know, we were trying to chase the money because we thought we had this in with Staples and they were going to pre-buy everything. Well, long story short, they didn't buy it. We wasted 6 months and just it was a headache. And I think, you know, losing focus and losing exactly what you're doing when you're still small and starting out, that was our big mistake.
Mm.
Yes,
Scott.
And I think that our big mistake was when I had a great idea and we went out and wanted to get it perfect. So I went and hired all kinds of people, like 10 people full time, $25,000 business plan, everything. And we spent over a year working on this project. It was called World Reach. And I ended up making $9.95 from one customer. And I said, this thing's a dog with fleas on it. Throw it away. So if you have an idea, get it out as fast as humanly possible. Don't wait till it's fully baked.
My God, we created 10,000 of these packaged software programs. We had to destroy them all. We didn't even sell one.
Okay, so the 10 of
you at least got $10. That's pretty good.
I mean, $9.95. But I had another one that I also did. And we were making nutraceuticals, St. John's wort. We were selling, it's called Nature's Good News. And we had hundreds and hundreds of boxes of these things we just had to throw away because we didn't look at one aspect. We messed one thing up, and that was the call center where we were doing radio and TV. The call center didn't answer 20,000 our phone calls. We had to kill the whole program because we were wondering, why aren't we making the sales that we should be making? So we that was another mistake. We just didn't look at one detail. So really having an attention to detail, an eye to detail, one thing can absolutely destroy a business.
So what do you do after a failure like this? How do you bounce back? What do you do when you have 10,000 packages that you invested human capital and financial capital in, and then you're left with 10,000 of these packages, and you're left with tons of money and energy invested just to make 10 bucks. What do you do? How do you come back from a failure like that?
I mean, what we did was we went back and said, okay, what are we good at? What went wrong here? And the big analysis is that with an internet business, it's about iteration. It's about change real fast. And in a software program, once you put that into a package, it's out and it's there for a year and you can't change it. We didn't have the systems to know what to do to make that perfect because we were used to making things that were slightly imperfect online anyway, knowing that you could always get better. And that's what makes an online business so great because it's the iteration. It's about the change to make it better. And we didn't have that luxury.
Mm. And I think what you're saying, Brian, is so important, is the iteration. How do you come to things? People think, oh, just one night I woke up and came up with this idea. Does that ever happen?
No,
it doesn't. It's like days and days, and then you get comments from customers, and that's a good idea. We should put a button there, and we should do this. And so it's a gradual process. And of course, somebody sees the end product. Oh, LegalZoom. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Or Reconnect Research. Look at you.
Those guys must be so smart. They don't make mistakes.
Yeah, that's only like with 400 jillion hours of time and effort and looking at details. And like what you said, which is so important, like they call them like tough, oftentimes SWOT analysis. Right? Mm-hmm. What is our strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats? And you got to really think through this stuff.
We could go on for days here just kind of picking each other's brains on different tips and advice. But as we come to a wrap on our segment, I want to know, what is a statement or two that kind of guides your day-to-day actions? For me, the habit is more important than the effort, and do less, better to completion. Those things kind of guide me throughout my day so that I can make sure that I'm sticking to my habits, regardless of making the complaint that, oh, today was a long day. I'm so tired. I'm not going to go to the gym because I'm not going to put the effort in. The habit's more important than the effort. I'll do 5 minutes at the house or whatever it is and do less, better to completion. Constantly juggling so many projects and people and delegations, making sure that I focus on the highest income and impact activities and get those done first. What are some statements that you guys live by?
I mean, for me, it's simple. It's know yourself. I mean, know what you're good at, know what you should be doing, and stick to your strengths and find people to cover your weaknesses.
Love that one.
Oh, ditto, mega ditto. And stay balanced.
We're all like in alignment with everything.
Well, but I think staying balanced, if you get to the top and you don't have relationships are the single most important thing. In your deathbed, you're not going to think about, did I spend another day at work? Did I make more money? But you're going to say, are my loved ones with me? So developing good, deep, long-term relationships is the single most important thing. And those relationships can be found everywhere. So you don't want to give up. You want to work all the time so you don't have a happy family life.
Yeah.
So relationships, being balanced, your body, taking care of your body, your soul, meditating or whatever you do spiritually, make sure you're taking the community, giving back. So really being a rounded person and keeping those balls in the air. Do not drop the balls. If you drop any of the balls, you will suffer at some time.
You two are rock stars. Simple, powerful advice. I appreciate you guys for coming on the show. It's been an amazing CEO roundtable. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.